Okay, we're live. Hi, everybody.
Morning.
This is Dave Weiner with Morning Coffee Notes, coming to you from 42nd Street in New York, New York. I'm here with Mike. Mike, what's your last name?
Kolchny.
Say that again.
Kolchny.
Kolchny. Mike is the editor of Hacking Netflix weblog, very excellent weblog that has just like huge flow. So if you ever want to get some flow for your blog, you got to grovel to Mike, and maybe he'll point to you. And then Ryan, what's your last name?
Sagir.
Okay. And I'm not going to try that. God, so how did we all meet? Steve Rubell, who has the Micro Persuasion blog, he's stuck on a train on his way into Grand Central Station, and he's going to call sometime soon. And he'll join us. And in the meantime, what should we talk about? You're a blogger, right?
Yeah.
We're all three of us are bloggers. Yeah. So I know what his blog's about. What's yours about?
It's Orbicast with all things satellite radio.
Cool.
Cover Sirius XM.
Are you interested? You must have an interest in satellite radio.
Oh, yeah. It's sort of a crazy little passion.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Cool. So how long have you been doing it?
Since late October, actually.
Uh-huh.
And it's taken off like crazy. It's just it's amazing the number of people that really want to, they're hungry for information on
this. Is that right? So do you like get them information about it?
Oh, yeah. It's like constantly all day long, and that's pretty much what all I'm doing.
Is that right? Oh, so like, you don't have a day job? That's your job?
No, I have a day job.
Yeah, like, does your boss know that you're doing it all day long?
No, not at all.
All these people in here, we're in a Starbucks, right? Yeah. All these people are staring at us, wondering, well, maybe these are like a big time radio show or something. It's just a podcast.
I love the setup.
So, yeah. Oh, well, tell them about it. What do you see? What does it look like to you?
So, this is like a little conference microphone.
Yeah, it's like designed for a conference room table.
So you get the 360 sort
of pickup. It's got a 300, it's like sort of like a dingus. And it's got a radius. I'll put a picture of this up here. But it sort of projects up and down. So actually it would be kind of better if it was like maybe 10 inches
higher. Lower,
but it doesn't, actually maybe that would be better. But see, here's you can see the graph there, right? So it's picking up my voice pretty well. You say something.
Oh, hey. Hello. Yeah, see, there you go.
So tell us about Hacking Netflix. What's that like?
It's been interesting. I don't know. I've been doing this almost a year and a half, and it's kind of surprised me where it's gone.
Yeah.
It's
Well, it was a deliberate thing on your part. You wanted to make a blog that would have a large audience or a lot of people reading it because, yeah.
Actually, I didn't.
No, when you did?
It's just the Monday releases of what's new. That's really all it was.
Yeah, it was news. I actually wanted to explore what was going on with Netflix. Uh-huh. They're a very private company, and I sort of wanted to hack the company, you know, sort of figure out what's going on.
Right.
And
stupid domain name.
Yeah. It's a great domain name.
I criticized it from day one on it.
Why? What's wrong with it?
It sounds like amateur. She's really like, you know, hacking Netflix. Well, what does that mean?
But, it's like rocking Netflix, but in 21st century.
Yeah, exactly.
Lingo.
I don't know. I make fun of them all.
How's Netflix doing?
They're doing really well. They just announced that they passed the 3 million subscriber mark based on competition from Blockbuster. So they're still managing to grow despite, you know, pretty hardcore competition. Blockbuster's spending a ton of money acquiring new customers, and
right.
Netflix is still growing. So.
I haven't switched. I still use Netflix. I tend to be pretty loyal. I think the service is good. I know I've read on some other blogs, like John Robb has a blog where he basically said Netflix is toast, that they can't. The turnaround is very bad now at Netflix.
They,
is that right?
They had some problems in early January, February, and it's part of their. They go through growth spurts,
right?
And when you have that many members, you do have some movie allocation problems. But I'm hearing double the problems from Blockbuster right now.
Of course, startup must be like, yeah. Have you ever actually seen a Netflix facility?
No. They've actually invited me out though.
Where they have one in New York, don't they?
There's one in Queens.
Right, in Flushing,
yeah. And I'm actually in Flushing every once in a while, but they're very secretive. They've only released a few photos of the distribution centers.
Really? But
yeah.
You could go inside and take a look if you wanted. They invited you to do that?
Well, they invited me to the corporate headquarters. So, you know.
So there's something, some secret sauce inside that distribution center, huh?
Well, they're starting to release information about it. So they've shown actual pictures of people stuffing the envelopes and things like
that.
You
kind of visualize what it must be like. Somebody was telling me, maybe it was you, that they have some kind of deal with the post office so that when you return the envelope, it scans it at the post office, and then that goes on their computer, and they send you something out, a new one out, before it actually arrives.
Well, actually,
is that true? Or?
From what I understand, it's currently not true. I think they've tested it in the past. Blockbuster is supposedly doing that. It's wrecking havoc. I've got people that are reporting 5 movies out on a 3-hour plan right now, and it's causing a mess.
Because they're erroneous positives or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they're getting the movie scanned, so we're seeing all kinds of weirdness going on. But from what I understand, the source of Netflix, they don't do that.
So it seems like it must be like a temporary, this whole idea of mailing around these DVDs, you know, it seems like a sort of an anachronistic thing that given a few more years, it'll all be networked. This is Steve. I gotta get it. Hold on. Steve, how you doing? Okay, we're, do you know?
We're at live report from Steve Rubell.
As you go, hold on.
Yeah, Dave's leaving, so maybe I'll readdress his first question. I started the blog, since he can't hear and he won't be modest, I started the blog because we came from a software company. Ryan and I actually worked together at a software company.
You know where
and,
the mobile building
well, I wanted to start one.
To the
and Dave
building.
Said to actually understand blogging, you should read 50 blogs and start one. And I just started one of a company I'm passionate about, and I thought that was really important, you know, to learn blogging. And this is sort of an experiment going awry. So,
sort of an automatic thing to want to talk to this microphone. This little stick just standing right on the table, and you have to look at it and talk to it.
Yeah.
Note your voice level.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Okay, good. Boy. So that was a little dramatic thing. Steve's in New York now, and Steve Rubell, PR blogger.
He's
going to be joining us soon. So what were you guys talking about while I was otherwise occupied?
Oh, I readdressed your first question about why I started. And it was,
why
I started hacking Netflix. I readdressed your first question.
Oh, why did you?
Because we came from a software company. There were a couple other people involved, but we started a software company and sold it to the people here in New York.
So you guys used to work together then?
Yeah, for years.
Years.
Third company. So like your buddies.
Yeah. And we encourage each other to blog and stuff. You want to know something funny? We were sitting around at a meeting at my work now. You know how blogging has spread? It's sort of this person-to-person thing we were talking about, you know, like spreading podcasts.
Well, they don't know anything about it.
Well, here's what happened.
See what I mean? Well, let me just say this. Before we started, I said, let's not talk at all because it'll just screw up the whole thing. But unfortunately, yeah, we did.
Well, no. What I'm saying is we were sitting around at a product manager meeting. We were talking about having a blog for another blog for our company.
Right.
And our CEO blogs, the guy sits next to me blogs, the guy across from us has a blog for his youth group, and another guy has a blog he's starting up about New York City. So there's six bloggers out of six people.
What company is this?
It's Index Stock Imagery in New York. It's a stock photo agency.
Right. Yeah.
So it...
So blogging, it's fair to say it's caught on, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And is anybody worrying about, like, how many people are reading their blogs? I don't worry about it.
I'd like to watch it.
You worry about it.
Well,
Knacking Netflix. Hey, there he is.
Steve.
Rubell, say hi to the folks at home.
Hello, everyone.
What's your name?
My name is Steve Rubell.
What's the name of your blog?
My name of my blog is Micro Persuasion, but doesn't everybody know that already?
Not everybody. There must be somebody who doesn't know. So, Steve, you're going to get... you found us.
Yeah.
Well, that's a sexy backpack you
Thank
got
you.
There.
I have to be different.
Oh, look at that.
So, I have to be different. So
you're going to get some coffee?
I am, yes.
Okay, we'll be ready for you. I'll have a question ready for you when you show up.
That's not good.
Hey, nice surprise, Steve.
Right. That was Steve Rubell, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
So everybody at your company at this meeting, they all had blogs.
Oh, yeah. And one of them's interesting. It's called GarageSpin. And
what?
GarageSpin. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people about blogging. I talk to people on the train. I've done presentations of blogging now. And he's a musician. He wants to record an album. And when I talked to him, he didn't know how to market his album. And so I told him, you know, blog the process, blog the tools you use, blog the thing that you're going through, and I want to learn about it. And he's crossed into podcasting because
that's really, I've been pushing him very hard. And I'm like, dude, podcast, this is a beautiful outlet for, you know, especially for, you know, you have the masses of people who just want to be musicians and want to have exposure. That podcasting, that's you can just instantly just deliver all your.
So did he do it?
Yeah, GarageBand's up and running.
He's working on the blog and he's one of the people that's really concerned about, you know, how much traffic is coming in or whatever, which is, I think everyone who's starting off just wants to know, like, you know, is there an audience to what I'm talking about?
I don't think it's true of everybody. Like my father, for example, he's a very talkative guy. It's really hard to get a word in edgewise with him. But he said, well, I have nothing to say. What would I say? You know, that you hear a lot. It's like, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't, you know, have anything to say. And so my answer to that is, well, just, you know, and that those people are certainly not worried about how many people are going to read their blog. Their concern is the other, is, you know, other end of it is that all of a sudden everybody's going to be reading my blog and I'm not going to look good. I'm going to look stupid, right? So what I say to people like that is I say, well, just go ahead and start the blog and post something really, really insipid and stupid. It's like, hi, this is my blog, you know, hey. And then just don't do anything. Leave it alone. And then someday you'll be in the shower and an idea will hit you. And you'll go, oh, God, I wish I could just, like, get this out to the world. And then that's when you go post something on your blog, right? And that sort of gets the process going. And that really has helped a lot. Helped a lot of people sort of get over the first initial hump. But if you have to, you know, it's sort of like, you know, what's a good way, you know, writers get this question all the time, you know. It's like, okay, I want to write something. You know, how do I go about doing it? And a writer will say, just write it. You know, the only way to write is to actually write. You can't prepare to write. Same thing's true with podcasting. So you were saying before, you know, you're worried about the production. That to me is the same kind of concern that my father had. He said, well, you know, I'm afraid I don't have anything to say. Well, the thing is that the good news is the first time you do a podcast, nobody's going to listen to it anyway. So what's the problem? Look as bad as you want to look. You know, I listen to my first podcast. It's pretty embarrassing. You know, it's like I pause at this moment and say, well, gosh, I think I better explain what I'm doing here. And then without any segue at all, after I'm finished explaining what I'm doing, I just start reading from my notes, you know, and it's like, well, oh, I'm getting my picture taken. So anyway, Steve Rubell, who actually looks different from the way, I mean, you look the same, but you look different from the way you look on your blog.
Well, do I look better online or in person?
There's no better, I'm not saying better or worse, it's just different. I mean, you know, Steve has this big picture of himself right there in the upper corner, which probably is good PR, right?
I guess so, you should. Yeah.
So tell us about your blog and how you got started blogging, Steve. When did you start? Micropersuasion? Is that the URL?
Yes, it's micropersuasion.com.
Okay.
I would say about a year and a half ago, I started to read blogs aggressively through RSS feeds. I saw they were having a major impact on my reading habits. Started working with clients to launch blogs in my PR firm in early 2004. And then about a year ago, I woke up one Sunday morning and I said, what's going on here? I'm working with clients and helping them blog. I'm reading you. I'm reading Scovel. And I'm learning so much. So I think I should have a blog also.
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously, right? Duh. You know? You know,
we're like religious evangelists, aren't we? It's really shameless. I
mean, and so I started.
So we get you drink the Kool-Aid, and then of course your job is to go out and get everybody else.
It's like a cult, right? You know.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. We were, of course. I'm going to say now we were talking about this before, right? It's like I was listening to a podcast this morning with Ron Bloom and Adam Curry, and they were talking about the mechanics of building a really big audience for podcasts. And I was sort of shaking my head as I was listening to it. I was going, no, that's not how it works. It's like a pyramid scheme, and you don't need to reach 10 million people in one shot with your message. What you need, you don't need to do anything, but if you want the thing to grow, it's just done, you know, one evangelist at a time. Basically, you know, my father was a really interesting experience. I mean, he, before he did a podcast, he said, well, you know, I would never do a podcast, I don't have anything to say. Now that he's done one, he's got a billion ideas of things that he wants to talk about. He's telling everybody, or of course I'm telling everybody about it, my brother's telling everybody about it. So all of a sudden, there's a whole other group of people that are getting infected with the disease. Or whether maybe it's not a disease, but it's all Piper pyramid scheme evangelism, two-tier marketing, you know, the whole nine yards, right?
It's like Amway, right?
It's like Amway, exactly. Except there's no money in it. It's just for love, basically.
I disagree with the money part.
Yeah,
I'm getting some flack for it.
I disagree too. There is money in it, of course there is. I mean, actually, there's a lot more money in it than you can get with advertising. Yeah.
There's money from all different kinds of aspects, too, because if you look at it, I mean, I'm making money from it, too.
Right.
By winning clients.
But for your clients, how much money do they spend to try to get the world to know who they are, right? That's why they hired you.
That's right. And it's an extension.
Blog can help you get better known, then aren't you making money?
Another tool we're going to use. I mean, we launched a practice under the name Micro Persuasion at Cooper Katz, my firm, that really helps companies.
What does the name mean?
Micro Persuasion?
Yeah.
As I see, when I launched the name, to me that meant that there are millions of small voices, micro voices, that have just as much influence as the mass voices.
Yep. They are the mass, right?
Which we pay for. I mean, you pay for mass persuasion. You pay for, a hit on Good Morning America or New York Times or whatever.
Yeah.
But the reality is that you have, you get a hit on Scobalizer or Slashdot. Or in your case, what you're doing is amazing. Mike. I mean, I go and I, you're in, first of all, you're in every single PowerPoint that I show. Because on this topic, which is a lot.
No, his blog is an interesting blog.
Because you Google Netflix and you're the third.
You took ownership of Netflix, basically. Yeah. They didn't have a blog presence and you created one for them. Yeah.
You know how powerful this whole system is? On Tuesday, I posted Blockbuster's customer service number. And on Monday, I posted it. And by Wednesday, it was the number one hit for Blockbuster 800.
Wow.
That's 2 days later. So I'm going after Blockbuster now, too.
Yeah.
So it's bizarre.
And this leads to a different topic, if I could ask this. Is
wherever you want to go.
Well, I wonder if Google one day is going to wake up and they're going to say, we're giving these blogs too much power.
Turn it off.
Yeah.
We're going to make a change.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, go on with that.
Well,
what's your concern? Why is that a concern to you?
Well, I hope they don't. Because
I don't think it should be a concern. I mean, basically... Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I don't want to...
Well, it's a concern because I think that's right now one of the factors that's going to help push blogging more mainstream.
What is?
The Google juice.
I don't know if I don't agree with you because...
Well, let me tell you why, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, companies need comfort, okay, in buying something. So are they going to buy into blogs? I don't know, but if you tie it to search engine marketing, if you tie it to optimization, that's something they're buying right now. Now, maybe in a year that won't be true, they'll buy it no matter what. But right now, they're saying, okay, so what's this get me? And when I show them the Google juice, that's like immediately they get it, and they say, okay, I understand.
Yeah.
So if Google makes that change, that I think... reduces the direct influence.
Okay, can I respond?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't care whether your companies have blogs or not, first of all. So it means absolutely nothing to me one way or the other, whether they do it or they don't. Second of all is that there's a real big danger in relying too heavily on centralization. The whole point of blogging was to take, to decentralize to the extent that we're all sort of like looking to Google for approval. We're now going back to the old system. It's like, we traded in one boss for another. It used to be, what anointed credibility was getting on the radio or getting quoted in the New York Times. Today, fuck it. I don't care. I really honestly don't care whether I get quoted in the New York Times. I mean, maybe a little bit. My parents read it. So it's like, it's good for family relations. But it doesn't build flow for me. They very rarely get the story right. All the objective things, reasons why you might care about that, seem to have faded. Now, it used to be that that was a very big deal. Now, today, that's been replaced by Google. But someday,
you just put, like, by the way, like 300 PR firms out of business.
I didn't do it. No, I didn't do it. No, not me. No, PR is in crisis, of course. I mean, although PR has a chance to get back to its roots. I mean, the irony of the name PR was, what did it stand for? Public relations, right? But you didn't, like, market to the public. You marketed to the press.
Why don't we say it?
Right?
It only has real meaning.
But that's not public, you know? That they were sort of anything but the public. They were elitist. They were, you know, the kingmakers. They were, you know, gatekeepers, all the rest of that stuff. Now, you, like you said, you get to do the job that you were always supposed to do. So if your clients don't want to do it blogging, if it doesn't get them Google juice, that's your problem, maybe.
That's where it's black and white. I think you have to sell it. And one of the ways you sell it, we sell the whole Clue Train module.
Right. Do you? Great.
Oh no, we
do. You have a Clue Train module?
Mantra.
Oh, mantra. Then you say, well,
no,
we can sell you the module.
No, if I had a Clue Train module, I'd be making a lot of money.
Here's the Clue Train. Take a ride.
The Clue Train mantra is,
that's great.
You know, we sell it. I mean, the human voice and the corporate speak is dying. And I mean, I believe that.
Do they buy it?
No, they
don't buy it. Number two is, do they get it? No, they don't get it. Are they going to try to use it and usurp it and pretend they're doing it? Maybe, right?
No, I wouldn't. Otherwise, you wouldn't. At least personally, I wouldn't work with
it. You wouldn't do that,
no,
right?
Way.
Good for
absolutely
you.
Not.
That means that you have a soul. Congratulations.
Well, I've been drinking the Kool-Aid long enough, as you would say.
No, that's the other way of looking at it, yeah. Yeah, I think of it as a soul. You think of it as Kool-Aid. Okay, great. You're a distributor, right? Yeah, me too. Amway, all the way.
That's right.
That's cool. So do you enjoy your work?
I love what I do.
You love what you do?
I love what I do more so now than I ever have. I never thought, I mean, I've been in PR 15 years, and I always loved it. I guess I'm a rare bird. But
I think I was a PR person in a former life.
Yeah, I think you are. I think in some ways you are now.
Absolutely. Except nobody pays me.
That's right.
Damn it. Somehow we got to figure out that one.
But you travel across the country and do great things, you know? I wish, I mean, doesn't everybody live to be Dave Warner? I mean, it's just like...
Is that right? Really? Like, it's not so great.
I think you embody like every male in their 30s and 40s and 50s.
Well, I waited a long time, Steve, to do this. I, you know, sort of like put down roots and, you know, got bored out of my mind in Silicon Valley. And yeah. It was either do it now or never do it. You know?
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm having a good time. You know, all my ideas now have taken root, and you know, and so they're not considered, you know, all that far out anymore.
What's next then?
For me?
Yeah, that's what I like.
Well, right now, I haven't really been all that secretive about it. I mean, basically, I think in terms of formats and protocols, it's OPML. OPML is the next layer up after RSS. I mean, you know, that's the role OPML plays right now is a, you know, sort of a, it's where, you know, it's doing lists of subscriptions, right? And so it can be used for bookmarks, it can be used for directories, it can be used for presentations, it can be used for thinking, for organizing and planning, and it can actually is pretty good for groupware, and it sort of goes in a lot of different, and then if you take that, and like mix it in with the internet and all the, you know, basic sort of simple networking like HTML has, you know, where you can link from one place to another, it gets pretty powerful, you know. So I've been wanting to do this. I mean, I got started on doing it in early 2002, and then I got sick, and then I couldn't do it. You know, I had to put everything down and sort of, you know, reset everything and figure out what I was really doing and quit smoking. Now I'm losing weight. That's the big thing, right, is losing weight and getting in shape. That's why Florida has been really good for me and continues to be. And
so are you retiring to Florida?
I don't think there's any retirement about it. No, I'm not retiring, but... Florida is kind of, you know, it's one of these places where I've, like, always wanted to, like, be there for some extended period of time. I wanted to live at the beach.
Yeah.
And you know, that's another one of those things, like, you know, okay, like, when were you planning on doing it, you know? It's either, like, do it now or maybe you don't ever get to do it. So, yeah, I'm trying to create a lifestyle at the same time. There's a lot, you know, if I want to do business, and like I said, basically the ideas are becoming acceptable now, and if I wanted to really build a development team today, I could do it. I could, even if I raised money to do it, and, you know, I don't know if I could do that in Florida.
I'd like to actually make this interview with you as much as
yeah.
with us.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
it's fascinating for us.
I think, yeah. I think the trip is that it's not really an interview. It's more
it's
or less...
conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, let's right. talk about the Clue Train, right? I mean,
yeah.
the Clue Train says that there's, like, no top or bottom. It's not, like, you know, yeah. like, you know, two-tier or whatever. We're just hanging out here.
Well, something so, I want to ask you, actually, if I could, is and I know I'm totally just... But it's a question
it.
That's
go
on
ahead.
My mind.
Go ahead.
Like RSS,
yeah.
okay? I mean, we all believe it. We all use it. We all, right? Okay, I mean, we live in the aggregators. Take a walk out on that street 10 feet.
Yeah.
You pull up 10 people at random, and not one.
Nobody.
Will probably know what RSS is. Maybe they've heard of it.
Okay.
So,
did you get in trouble for doing that?
Yeah, I did do that. I went.
So what's the point?
Well, the point I'm making is that...
Or question.
Is that how do we... I mean, I think that we're all evangelists here for RSS.
But why? Why does it have to be something for everybody? This is what I get asked that. This you know, comes up all the time, right? And 5 years ago or 3 years ago, four guys could be sitting at a table in a Starbucks on 42nd Street, and none of them would have heard of RSS. Today, all of them have, and they all use it, right? So that's an awful lot of growth right there, okay?
It's fast.
And, yeah, and maybe 5 years from now, you'll go out on 42nd Street, and they'll all be talking about RSS and how, you know, their company is adopting it across the board and how, you know, they're going to the next thing. Some guys are talking about this thing called OPML, and they're not sure what it is or whatever.
I feel like it's like when I talk about the web.
But that's the way it should always
94.
Be, Steve.
Yeah.
There should always be something new happening
right.
that, you know, that is making its way through, you know, our civilization. It should always be. If it ever stops being that way, then you should be, like, worried.
No,
not
I know,
worried
I know.
That people don't know.
I'm worried that that people think it's too hard.
It is too hard.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe that's the answer to that one. And how does it get easier is a really interesting question. It's not a technological question. It's a human question. It's a political question. It's a people putting their pride aside and deciding to work together question. And, you know, there's very little of that. Once RSS became, you know, somewhat successful, all of a sudden a lot of people wanted to take it over and own it. And then they, you know, so they could split it in two, but they could never make the whole thing go the way they wanted it to go. The only way for that to happen is for people to drop their pride and say, okay, I'm going to do it the way you want to do it. There has to be an awful lot of that happening. And it's not happening. And look what happened with Yahoo. And they have this ugly, you know, little graphic that they ask every blogger to put on their site.
Oh, I have
right. Well, I won't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I refuse to do it because I think with just a tiny little bit of working together there, we can solve that problem and make it easy for them, you know, for anybody to be in that space. Of course, their attitude is we're the only aggregator out there, right?
No, well, they've made it easier for my mom to read blogs. She doesn't know their blogs, and I just set up a couple feeds for her, and now she goes through.
Right, but why does it have to be? But why does it have to be specific to Yahoo?
Well, they're the ones that I think they have one of the better interfaces for reading for someone's non-technical.
But what if somebody has a better one for people who are non-technical?
Let's write one. Why don't we do that? Why don't we create one? There's a need.
Do you see my point? Is that just the tiniest little bit of working together, we couldn't get it. You know, I tried approaching them privately. They wouldn't respond. I tried asking them. I saw a guy from Yahoo talking about their aggregator at a conference. I raised my hand. I said, hey, how about working with everybody else? They sort of snickered, like, well, why should we do that? And then I called them out. I called the Yahoo problem on scripting news, escalated up the next level. Total silence, you know? I mean, you know, that's bad. I mean, you know, I think what they think is that I'm jealous in some way or... You know, I'm pissed off or whatever. Yeah, I'm pissed off, but that's not insurmountable. I can easily be a swage. You know, I mean, I found out from Scoble yesterday that these guys at Microsoft are scared of me. And I said to him, I said, well, that's pretty good. That's
awesome.
Kind of like, how could Nixon have ever opened up relations with China if they weren't scared of him?
That's quite a comparison you're making there.
What? Oh, yeah. Oh, oops.
Gee, where should we go with that? Just so you know, Dave's holding up two fingers on either side of
and like, bring my shoulders up.
We need video casting.
Yeah, this guy. Well, it's a good thing Mark Pilgrim isn't blogging anymore, because he'd have a field day with that. Sorry. Oops, that was the wrong thing to say. Anyway.
You might come back.
Yeah, so working together would be good. But I don't know. I think that it's also, we got this problem with content modification and what Google's doing with Autolink. And I think that's terrible. And, you know, it's a radicalization and commercialization, totally unnecessary commercialization of the web. And you know what's coming next. They've got a browser in development. And
just had another Mozilla programmer just jumped to Google this week.
Yeah. And the venture, that's right. And a venture capitalist in Silicon Valley funded the original guy who worked on Firefox. You know what these guys are doing. They're getting ready to put ads, our ads, if you have ads, are going to move out of your page and into their Chrome, and you're going to get BookKiss, and they're going to make all the money. And then the next thing is they're going to sell out to the Christian right, Christian Coalition, and then all of a sudden we're all going to become Bush supporters. Jeb Bush in 2008, all the way. That'll be fun.
Jason Calcanis is good about calling out people that do that, though. I mean, he's got 70 weblogs now, and he's really, anytime somebody comes up with these brilliant business plans to, you know, take the content that we all write, I mean, you know, we spend a lot of energy on this, and they slap an ad on it and expect to get rich on it. That's
really, I wasn't aware that he was doing that.
Yeah, he's called, you should check out his blog. He really calls out these guys. He was at
the Nano Publishing blog?
That's his own blog.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I subscribe to it.
The Jason Calcanis blog.
It's a Jason Calcanis.
Oh, yeah. That I don't subscribe to.
Subscribe to it. It's really good. He calls these guys out. He said it at South by Southwest, I think, at one of the conferences. And they, no, what was it? I remember that conference.
Of course, his bread and butter depends on them not doing that.
Well, ours too, to some degree. Yeah. You know, I don't think they should slap ads on Micro Persuasion or Orbitcast. You know, without there's being some sort of
rev share. What's the worst example of that happening? Who's doing the worst?
Well, there's concern that BlogLines will do it. You know, I mean, we're all syndicated in BlogLines. I mean, Dave, you've got what 3,000 subscribers there. You know, I'm worried that for ads on there without sharing the revenue back with us. That's why I like Google, is at least they give us some pittance of the revenue.
See, I'm not that concerned about that. I mean,
but if they're making money off your content,
well, you know, change your feed. I'd like to be able to change my feed and say
I'm more concerned when they change what I say. You know, when they make me out to, when they point to Amazon for my content, and I don't point to Amazon as a matter of principle because they're patent abusers, and when they change my content to point at Amazon, then I feel really used. I mean, I feel betrayed, and specifically when it happens from Google, because of what we were saying before, is like, that's why you don't want to depend too heavily on them, because they'll break your heart. I mean, you know, this was the problem with centralization. Is there was no incentive for them to listen to us, right? And if there's only one Google, well, then why should they care what we think?
There is going to be a market that kind of evolves where people will take either content that people are making available free and changing it, and they're going to. I think companies will try to push the boundaries in doing that. One of the areas I'm concerned about is fake blogs, right? Okay.
Yeah. So AstroTurf.
Right. Well, companies are doing that, right? But I can easily see somebody creating what I call a fake blog. Okay, which is basically somebody saying, well, you know what, I don't like Starbucks, so I'm going to create a fake blog and pretend it's Starbucks.
Right.
Okay.
I've done one of those.
You have?
I don't want to tell you what it is, though. It hasn't quite percolated through Google yet. So.
Really? Oh, boy. I watched that one. But a fake
yeah, blog, I understand the concept.
You know, where it's like, you know, and you might think it's the company trying to do that. Also, I'm wondering if some of these fake blogs are intentionally fake, because they know it's just good PR. Or not good PR, but they know it's
PR.
But
what do you mean by that?
Well, like the McDonald's Lincoln Park blog. Yeah. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm wondering if McDonald's said, you know, some companies believe there's no such thing as bad PR. They're just doing it to create online buzz. Yeah. So, I'm wondering if McDonald's, one of two things happened. Either they said, yeah, we can do this blog thing, we'll do it this way.
Right.
And they really were totally naive.
Or
they were smart as hell.
Right.
They said,
they're going to be outraged by this, but we'll get a lot of pointers.
We'll get all this link love, and we'll get all this. And we'll get all this.
Well, did it work? Did it get people to
got people talking?
We're talking about it right now.
Yeah. That's right.
Free publicity. I'm being accused of being a shill.
Yeah, but McDonald's has, you know, I have written about this a lot when I'm traveling. You know, McDonald's, this was a big secret. I posted something on my blog and said, boy, if McDonald's were really serious about Wi-Fi, you know, they could clean up. And then somebody said, what the fuck are you talking about? Of course they're serious about Wi-Fi. look at the map. And so they sent me a point of the map. And if there aren't, I mean, every McDonald's all across the country has Wi-Fi. So if they wanted to get blog-type people interested in McDonald's, one simple way to do it would be put a little sign on the door that says, take out your laptop and try it out, because it works.
Yeah. This is like, well, Starbucks has become the de facto hangout.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I was, you know, Keith Teer. Keith, well, he did Real Names and sort of Silicon Valley entrepreneur. Okay. Started Siberia, basically the first cyber cafe in Britain, in London. And you know, we were talking about that the other day, and basically agreed that this is what cyber cafes became, is Starbucks, right? I mean, you know, it went the other way. Instead of a new chain, and I think we'll see more and more of that. That's McDonald's. I mean, you know, there aren't any Starbucks. You know, there's Starbucks on the two coasts in Chicago, and that's it. You know, in big cities, there's Starbucks. But if you're, like, driving cross-country, if you're in, like, a red state somewhere, forget it. McDonald's is, like, the only place that has Wi-Fi.
But now I have another reason not to go to a red state. It's no Starbucks.
No. Yeah, right. Well, it's true. I mean, on my first cross-country trip, driving from Reno, Nevada to Denver, Colorado, not one Starbucks.
I'd die.
You would?
Oh, I drink this stuff every day.
No, you know what the solution is?
I should write them a big check every year.
There's an answer to this, which is McDonald's iced tea, unsweet iced tea, is really pretty good. It's loaded with caffeine, it's very refreshing, and it's quite affordable.
Well, he's an influencer, so I'm going to try it.
Yeah, it's...
He sold me on McDonald's.
It's great.
I think
the only problem is you have to smell the smell of McDonald's.
That's the problem. You don't want to hang out in a McDonald's and play on your laptop.
But the Wi-Fi is pretty good, and it's $49 a month.
Is your notebook greasy?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, people... What was it? Madge Weinstein said... Oh, sure, we know he's going for the iced tea. Ha, ha, ha. He's, you know, three-quarter powder with cheese or whatever. He never did that. I like the chicken selects. Gained at least 20 pounds off chicken selects.
I stopped eating that.
But I don't do that anymore. Salads, salmon, that's me, you know. Yeah, that would be nice if they had a chain of restaurants where you could go. And I don't care if it costs $10, you know.
Have you tried the Verizon, the new, like, broadband service they have in the cities? Have a city. They now offer up to 600K bursts here in like 15 major cities. $80 EVDO.
Yeah, right. $80 for what?
$80 a month flat.
And so where do you get access?
Anywhere.
It's a whole city.
You plug in your notebook.
Oh, really?
I hate to plug Jason Calcanis twice in one podcast, but he has it. Sure. He raves about it, and he's got me wanting it so bad. Because I want to post during
one. Yeah, but it's 600K. So is it a cellular modem thing?
Yeah, it's a cellular modem, yeah.
And you, oh, really? Yeah. And it's how much a month?
80.
It's only major city, so...
On top of a $30 Wi-Fi account. Yes.
On top of what?
On top of a $30 a month Wi-Fi account, you know, which I have here with T-Mobile.
But why would you even need that?
Well, you're locked in for a while.
Well, and then you wouldn't need it at home either if you live in that area,
right? Yes, although 600K it doesn't go all the way out where I live in the sticks. So.
Now, they have it Wi-Fi at Bryant Park, right?
Yes.
All over the place.
But so if I wanted to go, I could save $6 instead of uploading this podcast. I mean, I'm going to upload this podcast right after we're done, basically. You know, so it's like going to be instant broadcast journalism. You're a media star now, Steve.
I am.
How do you feel about that?
That's scary.
Is that all right?
This guy, Mike, is the star of here.
Yeah.
No,
Mike
I've done like 20 interviews. You've done over 100.
I've done so many. It's crazy, isn't it? But isn't it odd that the media want to talk to a PR person? I mean, the media want to interview a PR person.
Yeah.
I mean, there's irony in it.
Who?
Well...
Who wants to interview a PR person?
Well, I've done a lot of interviews.
Oh, you do? That's true.
I did 4 just this week. So
isn't that a conflict of interest?
Not yet. I'm actually able
getting
to...
Getting close to that, huh?
No, because I've moved now into...
But isn't your job to try to get those interviews for your clients? Aren't you competing with your clients?
Not anymore, because I'm now working now, I would say 80% of my job now is to work with clients on blogging and strategies and also building a whole side of our business.
By becoming more of a visible expert on this stuff, you're helping generate business for your firm.
Exactly.
Which is exactly what you're saying to your clients, is that by becoming an expert in your own area, you know, by letting everybody know that you know the most about whatever it is that you do, that just can't help but help your business, right?
I wouldn't say I know the most. I think I learn from the people who do.
But I don't know any other blogging PR person. You're the only one I know.
There are 140 of us.
I understand, but I'm telling you, it's not giving you a piece of data, Steve. And I'm sure you're aware of that too, right?
But I want to give them a plug because I think that there are a lot of good PR bloggers out there who were out there long before I was. From all over the world. I mean, Neville Hobson out of Amsterdam, if you're not reading his blog, it's fabulous. He's talking about...
Well, I read your blog, okay. And I expect you to point to him when he has something interesting.
I do. I definitely do.
What about a link blog? Do you ever think about doing one of those?
I have thought about doing that because
you asked what's next for me. That's another thing OPML is good for, is that, you know, if you want to do a more sort of like long post, short post sort of thing, and, you know, a lot easier, that's one of the things I want to do. I think that blogging has gotten too in a rut.
I have a link blog now, kind of, through Delicious, which is basically, it's my backup brain. I mean, if I see a laptop I think I want to buy, I'll throw it there. And but actually, something I've done is I'm using Delicious. The irony is, I now get pitched a lot. Okay.
You get pitched.
I get pitched.
Which is weird because you're a pitcher.
It's like years ago there was Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. It's a B movie. Okay. And there was a scene where Bill and Ted were sent to their own personal hell. Okay. And that's what I feel like because all these years of pitching journalists and spamming their inboxes. Now I'm getting spammed by other PR professionals and the tables have turned.
You're a filter.
And some of it's really good. And I'm trying to be nice. I try to respond to every pitch. I try to say thank you. At least just say thank you. So, but what I've done is I say, hey, let's make the pitching process transparent. Go put your link up in Delicious and tag it Micro Persuasion. And tell me one line why you think I should link to this. And I check.
And have you asked people to do that?
Yeah.
And what do they do?
Some have actually taken to it and started to post things there. And I try to pull things from there regularly that I think are appropriate.
So it's a public place, basically. You could point to that from your blog if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So you'd
well,
have
I do.
Sort of, oh, you do. And so yeah. There would be a place that basically anybody could post to. That,
that's transparent pitching.
Well, it's sort of like there are so many things like that. TrackBack, if you had, you know, that's kind of like TrackBack except in a sort of centralized
place. It's an invitation saying, you know, post something here. I promise you I'll look at it. And then if it sounds interesting, do that.
There's something I want to ask. Is there sort of like...
Is this the question you were going to ask me at the beginning? Or?
No, and I was going to put it out to all these guys. Is there like a pulse to the New York bloggers community? Do you have meetups? Is there anybody who throws parties or anything like that?
No.
Because like in San Francisco, there's a whole sort of circuit.
There's no time for that. There's no... You got to catch a train. You got to...
I'm not saying it's a good thing, actually, because I think it gets very incestuous and people are so concerned about being friends with other people that, you know, they're not getting any truth anymore because you got to, you know, be careful. So is there anything like that?
I've been pushing for it. I've been trying to, you know, connect with different people. You know, I reached out to Steve. That's why we're here this morning, you know. Let's get together. I got together with Jason and some of his bloggers one night a few weeks ago. Six Apart was here. They actually had, drinks last week. I was too sick to go.
They had a what week?
They had sort of like, open, what is it, happy hour.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Six Apart was here. Maina came into town and, you know, Anil, and they had an open house basically for bloggers. And but, no, we really need some sort of formal way because...
Well, here's the thing, though. I think that New York is very, as you know, Dave, it's very different than the Valley. I mean, it's... It tends to be...
It's not really a community, is it? It's
well,
so huge.
And here's how we see it, like, on the PR side. When we go into a media tour for a client out in California, they'll meet. The media will meet with the clients. In New York, they really don't want to, unless it's such a big name or has such value to them. Or they really have the time to do it. It's a very different vibe here.
That's changed because in the 80s I did press tours that came through New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Washington, and so forth. And I mean, they would cart me around to all the publications and they would meet. I didn't think there was a whole lot of value in doing that.
It's hard. We can get the meetings, but it's a lot harder.
I think that's rational, actually. Because now you can find out what you need to know on the web. I'll go to your website. You know, I'll send you an email. You send me a copy of the software, for crying out loud. I'll play with it, you know. I mean,
it's different.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's good. Things have changed. But, you know, one of the things I noticed, I went and spent a bunch of time in North Carolina, and in Greensboro, they've got a blogging community, and it is very much based on face-to-face. And one of the big differences, you know, is, and I said this when I was meeting with people there, it occurred to me that, you know, there may be more bloggers in New York, but a blogger in Greensboro more likely knows another blogger than a blogger in New York does. You know, you may know them, you know, not geographically, but, you know, you've met, and your friends, you know, you grew up with them, basically.
I haven't met many New York bloggers, have you?
Yeah, I've met a bunch, actually, at different events. The blogger dinner where I met you.
That's right.
I started meeting people. You know, the thing is, blogging is a solitary occupation. We sit there and, you know, we're writers. You sit there and you have to spend the time researching and you know, Dave, you're very prolific, but to me, you know, it's time I spend alone, usually late at night, you know, after the kids are in bed, writing. And I love this, you know, meeting other people and discussing stuff. I think it's exciting, you know.
Yeah, I usually don't want anything to do with meeting. This is actually the first time I've ever met
him. I dragged him.
Yeah. He's constantly trying to drag me
so
along.
So what do you think? Is it, is it good to meet other bloggers? Or
well, yeah, it's
did you hate every second of it?
It's sort of neat to actually, you know, to see the person behind the words, which is sort of neat. Yeah. But I don't know, from... Yeah,
not
well,
every
like,
week.
Yeah, it's like the people who really just... They're social butterflies, and they just want to meet everybody and whatever. I just want to blog. I want to spend my time on that. If you have something interesting, email me, and you know, we'll go
I'm
from
like
there.
That too. Yep.
The community's online. It's not.
It is.
Next week, I'm coming back to New York to do a debate at Reuters. They're inviting all these press people in, and it's so fascinating. Cause this is another reason we get together. Is to help assuage the fears of the print journalists. You know, all the questions they ask are just so revealing. It's like, you know, they want us to say, no, you can't trust bloggers. No, there'll always be a reason for you to exist. Bloggers have axes to grind. Bloggers have conflicts of interest, whatever. You know, there will be, I think, a lot of press people. I know people are flying in for that thing. And it should be interesting. I mean, you know, I used to do... Scripting News dinners in New York. I've probably done maybe 5 of them, you know, over the years. We almost got one together for
almost,
this one,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know who would show up for it now. You know, I mean, it's
how would it, I think you could have. I actually think you could have the opposite problem where so many people
too many
show
people,
up.
Yeah.
How do you manage that?
I don't have a problem with that. Katz's Deli is very good for that.
Okay,
I mean,
yeah.
Katz's has this huge dining room, and you know, at worst, we'd fill up a tiny corner of that dining room. That's not the problem. It's just I have no idea who would show up anymore. I mean, it's.
I try to be there when I can.
Yeah. No, I'm sure you would. Maybe next time. I mean, it was just like, sort of, I like, you know, the one I like the best that I've ever done was the brunch we did in Alexandria. We had our own private room, and 10 people at the really long table, and the door closed, and we could hear everything. You know, I mean, and whereas contrast that to one that I did in Amsterdam, where we were 10 people sitting at one long table, and I couldn't hear what the guy sitting next to me was saying. And, you know, what's the point? I mean, okay. You know, it's like I moved my mouth and, you know, what did he say? So.
I actually have to go run.
Yeah, and we've got 44 minutes. Don't run yet. Just let me wrap this up.
Before you go, we got to talk Dave into going to Gnome Desk.
Yes.
Yes, you've got to go. Please
absolutely.
Go.
We're going.
Well, I'll tell you what. Okay, I want to.
You got to go too.
But before you leave, I just want to get a chance to wrap up. So don't just like walk out and make me wrap up by myself, okay? But I'd love to. I would love to go to Gnome Dex, but Chris has got to invite me to speak. You know, this is one of the things that.
Emails.
Let's do an open session that's an unconference BloggerCon style thing. I've written about this. 2-tier conferences, I don't like those, you know. I would love to go to Gnome Dex. But I would also like to get invited. You know, I thought seriously about going, but I haven't gotten invited to it, so.
Well,
and I see him inviting all kinds of other people.
I paid.
You paid?
Yeah, I paid, yes.
Maybe I should just pay. Maybe I should just, the hell with getting invited.
Just Mark Cantor, Phil Terone. I mean,
I want to meet Phil Terone.
Yeah, it's
like the NBA All-Star guy.
It is. I want to meet that.
You think Mark Cantor is like?
He's a nut. He's a nut. I knew him in the SPA years ago.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a nut. He's doing crazy stuff.
So you would fly cross country to see Mark Cantor?
Well, the group, the combined group. Steve's there. I mean,
Scoble.
Scoble. Scoble's okay.
What do you think about the podcast hotel? Have you heard about that one?
No.
I swear they got this one from me. I did this in a podcast. I explained this idea. I've had it for years. The idea is that we all go check into a hotel somewhere. I mean, like 20 or 30 people. And we stay there for a week. And we just interview each other. And we go places. And there's no sessions. Absolutely no structure to it whatsoever. And who's doing it? Alex Williams. Doing it in Portland, Oregon, sometime this summer. You know, I don't know if he thought of it on his own. That's great, but you know, that's another thing. The thing I want to fix about this business is that give people credit for their ideas. Come on, what's the problem? You know, I know you feel the same way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You've been abused.
Well, I don't like using that word, but I like pleading with people better than complaining because. Anyway, okay, thanks everybody. We're about to be evacuated. This has been one of the most interesting podcasts ever, and I'd like to thank you all guys for coming by, and see y'all real soon. Okay?
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
This is a perfect way to end.
Oh my god,
are we getting kicked out?
Hopefully we're alive still.
Okay, that's it.